We're going to again turn to the Gospel of Luke. So we had Luke this morning. We're going to Luke this afternoon. We're going to Friday night. We're going to consider the crucifixion from the Gospel of Luke, and then Sunday we're going to consider the resurrection from the Gospel of Luke. So if you turn to Luke chapter 18. Sorry, it's chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. This is where we find the account of Zacchaeus and Jesus visiting him in Jericho. So Luke 19, starting at verse 1 through verse 10, this is the word of our Lord. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my good to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the word of our Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. We pray that you would minister to us through it this afternoon, for asking in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 19 gives us this wonderful picture of our Savior dealing with one of his elect, dealing with one of his children in Zacchaeus. And if we take the time to look at this picture, we'll see that it provides amazing details about us as God's elect, but also about Jesus, our Savior. Now, this is the only place where we find anything about Zacchaeus. There's no other record of him in history other than writers writing about this particular passage. So this is the claim to fame for Zacchaeus, is here, Luke chapter 19. And we learn that he's from Jericho. Verse 1 and 5 tells us that he is there. Jesus met him in Jericho in verse 1. His house was in Jericho in verse 5. And Jericho was located in the widest part of the Jordan Valley, northeast of Jerusalem. So that's the most fertile part of modern-day Israel, right by the Jordan there. It was an important center for commerce because crossroads came right by Jericho, so a lot of commerce came through. So as a prospering town, it was considered a resort city, with its inhabitants being generally wealthy. When we visited Tini back in the end of February, we spent a night at this place, this little city called Laguna Beach, south of LA. And I think there's more Ferraris than people in that little city. It was a wealthy town, it was a resort town, it was a touristic town, lots of wealth. So that's kind of how Jericho was at the time of Jesus. And we learn here in verse 2 that he was the chief tax collector, that this term is only used here. There is nobody else in the Bible is called a chief tax collector. That's only here in this place. And a tax collector was a person who worked for a Roman company that had bought a license from the Roman government to charge taxes. So the Roman government itself did not collect taxes. It outsourced the collection of taxes and made more money by franchising that than by actually collecting taxes directly. So the tax collector worked for a tax collecting company. And the government mostly only charged commerce taxes, the import and export taxes. But then these companies would add all kinds of other taxes. They would charge people for how many axles they had on their chariots. They'll charge people to cross a bridge, the bridge tax, or they'll charge people for entering the market. These are all extra charges that the government itself didn't collect, but gave the company the right to collect those taxes. And on top of that, the tax collector would overcharge the people so that they could keep some of the money. No, and they would falsely accuse merchants of smuggling so that they could extort bribes or hush money from them. So you can see how the tax collector wasn't very well liked by the people when everybody knew that that's what they are doing. And then the chief tax collector is in charge of a bunch of other tax collectors in his region, and that's who Zacchaeus is, the boss of the bad guys. Red likes talking about the bad guys. No, the bad guys. Oh, that's a bad guy. Oh, that's a bad guy. Anybody he hasn't met is a bad guy. So Zacchaeus was the chief, the boss of all the bad guys in the area. And we learned that he was a rich man. In verse 2, Luke explicitly says that. And it was expected as he was the chief tax collector of a very rich district. So it would be expected that he was rich. And we know that he himself extorted money from the people of Jericho. In verse 8, when he's confessing his faith, as if I've stolen money, the way that that sentence is constructed is a true-to-fact conditional sentence, which means that if I stole money, which I did, is a true-to-fact, I will return. So he's confessing that he extorted money, and he was going to return that to the people. And we learn here in verse 3 that he wanted to see Jesus. Now, the text doesn't say why he wanted to see Jesus, but we can assume that he had heard about all the things that Jesus was doing and naturally wanted to take a peek at this famous person. Now, being a tax collector, Zacchaeus was not particularly religious, since the Jews considered the tax collectors apostate. They were not allowed in synagogue. They were not allowed to worship in the temple. They were outside of religious life there. So Zacchaeus was probably just curious. He wanted to see this guy that he'd been hearing so much about, doing all these different miracles all over. We also learn here in verse 3 that he was probably the thing that he's most famous for. He was a wee little man, right? He was short. I like how it's interesting how a translation puts it. For he was of short stature. Now, he was vertically challenged here. He wanted to see Jesus, but couldn't because he was shorter than the average person. And a crowd had already formed around the way Jesus was going to come. And as you can imagine, nobody in his right mind would make space for a tax collector. He was despised. Why would you even do that? So in order to compensate for being vertically challenged, Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed on a sycamore tree by the side of the road. It's interesting how detailed the scriptures are and how it makes sense. This particular tree is not like what we call sycamore tree here. This particular tree has an abundance of branches, and they come all the way down to the ground, which would make it much easier for a shorter person to climb them. So you see these little details, how the scriptures are accurate, even in these little things there. We also learned that he was the object of God's particular love. In verse 5, we read, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.'" He was the object of God's particular love. Of all the people that were lining the streets of Jericho, Jesus looked at him. Jesus came to Jericho to visit this particular man so that he might receive the salvation that was particularly purchased for him. We also learned that he was hated by the people of Jericho. We see that in verse 7, where the people say, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Talking about Jesus going to Zacchaeus' home. This is it's explicitly told her here that the people didn't like Zacchaeus. And the people of Jericho complained that Jesus was going to visit the house of a sinner. And the word sinner here in this verse does not refer to those that have transgressed God's law or had offended God, but one who had broken the oral tradition of the Jews or one who they simply did not like. That's what sinner was in the eyes of religious people of the time of Jesus. One had broken the traditional oral law or just somebody they didn't like. And isn't that ironic that the one who is the object of God's particular love is also the object of the hatred of the religious leaders of the time? Jesus came for this man, and the people who are supposed to be the representatives of Jesus on this earth hate the very one that Jesus came to save. I hope we don't find ourselves in that position where we throw people as being outside of the ability of God to save them, because such person doesn't exist. If we ever think of somebody in that way, it's really a recognition of pride on our part, that we think that somehow there was something in us that caused God to be attracted to us and to save us, and somehow this other person doesn't have that. We must be careful that we don't do that. We also learn here about Zacchaeus that he was saved by the grace of God. And that's really explicitly stated in verse 9, where it says, "And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham.'" It's not because he's done all kinds of things, but because he's a son of Abraham. So it's explicit here, but it's also explicitly stating what Zacchaeus did. He did exactly what Jesus commanded him to do. Jesus says, "Come down from the tree." He came down from the tree. He also received Jesus at his house with joy in verse 6. He parted with the wealth that to that day had been his God. In verse 8, it says he gave half to the poor. And after he provided restitution to those who had defrauded, he gave he gave money back to everybody that he had cheated, which is the fourfold restitution was what was required of a thief, which implies that Zacchaeus understood that he was a sinner, true sinner according to the word of God, and had repented from it, because he's doing exactly what the word of God called him to do as a sign of repentance for his sins. Now, do you know what story is in chapter 18 of Luke? If you turn there. There are several stories, but one of them is the rich young ruler. You see the comparison here between these two rich people? Zacchaeus abandons the wealth God, while the rich young ruler clings ever tighter to it. One found salvation in Jesus Christ by denying the idols of his heart. The other one went away sorrowing because he had much wealth there. And Zacchaeus' salvation is confirmed by Jesus' affirmation, or that Zacchaeus' salvation confirms Jesus' affirmation at the end of the story of the rich young ruler, that the things which are impossible with men are possible with God, even the salvation of a rich man. Remember, that was the question that the disciples had after the rich man, if he gets to be saved, a rich, eager guy, how can we be saved? And God said, "You're right. You can't be saved either. It's impossible. But God can do it." And then you have the demonstration of that right off the next chapter in Luke's narrative, the salvation of a rich man. And notice that Zacchaeus' salvation was not based on what he did. These were the fruit worthy of his repentance. Now, the analogy of faith, that is the entire context of the scriptures, teach that salvation has nothing to do with the work of man, rather it is the sovereign work of God and God alone. Now, Zacchaeus is not the only character in this story. As a matter of fact, he's not even the most important character in this story. We also learn a lot about the Lord Jesus Christ here. If you were to read verses 31 through 33 of chapter 18, you see there that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to die. He knew that. He affirmed that. He told his disciples that was the case. He was going to Jerusalem. He's going by Jericho to go to Jerusalem to die for the sins of his people. And he could understandably have many different things in his mind. He could be thinking about his arrest. He could be thinking about the closest friends abandoning him. He could be thinking about the scourging he was going to suffer. He could be thinking about the crucifixion. He could be thinking about the separation he was going to experience from his father. Yet he comes to Jericho looking for Zacchaeus. Not focused on himself, but looking for Zacchaeus. A commentator says, Zacchaeus' desire to see Jesus, though commendable, was surpassed by the fact that Jesus wanted to see him. Even in this very trying time of his life, Jesus is thinking about his people and seeking them out and calling them out of the of lostness into salvation. And in this we learn about God's abundant but also particular love for his people. In the weeks and days leading to his death, our Lord was seeking people. Specific people, particular people. Of all the people of Jericho, our Lord loved Zacchaeus and his family. He came to Jericho to save this specific man and this specific family. Also in this passage, we learn that God knows his people. It was not an accident that Jesus found Zacchaeus on that sycamore tree. He knew Zacchaeus was there. He wasn't looking up every tree to see if there was a little man there. It was this particular tree because that particular man was there. He came to Jericho to meet Zacchaeus because that had been foreordained from eternity past, that on that day, Zacchaeus was going to meet his Savior who had a particular love for him. And we also find in this passage that God saves people. In verse 9, it says, today salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. God sovereignly saves everyone that belongs to him. If the Father has given you to him, he will save you too, all the way to the end. Zacchaeus could not resist God's grace being poured upon him, and neither can you. When God saves everyone that he wants to save, and Zacchaeus is proof of that. There's no one that can say, you know what, God, I'm good. I don't want you to save me. And God's like, oh, shucks. I wish I really wanted to save him or her, but he's saying no, so I respect that. No, that doesn't happen. We also learn in this passage that God is faithful to his covenantal promises. God promised Abraham that he would be a God to him and to his children and to all that possess the same faith as Abraham. And that's exactly what happened here to Zacchaeus. Now, this is the second time that God visits Jericho, particularly to save somebody. Can you think, remember what the other time was? Through the spies with Rahab there, where Rahab and her family, pattern here with God, Rahab and her family were saved. Now he comes back in the person of the Son to save Zacchaeus and his family. And then you might ask, why is Zacchaeus saved? Well, the reason that Jesus gives us here is that he was a child of Abraham. That is, he had the same faith as Abraham. And this has nothing to do with his physical lineage. For remember, John the Baptist said he could raise children of Abraham out of these rocks. If that's all the claim you have, that you're ethnically connected to Abraham, this rock can become a child of Abraham if God wants as well. This has everything to do with his spiritual lineage, for in Christ, he and his family are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And then we also learn in this passage why God the Son came in the flesh. And that is in verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And this is really the summary of Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of Luke. Our Lord came to save the lost. He didn't come to congratulate the righteous. He didn't come to rub shoulders with the self-sufficient. He came to save the lost. And notice that he is the one seeking. The lost cannot find their way. our Lord has to seek them out first. And he does seek them, and he finds them. He is the seeker, and he will find his lost people. Brothers and sisters, Jesus pursues his people even up a tree. That's what we find here with Zacchaeus. He pursued you, and he brought you to himself. And this same Jesus, who brought us to himself, sends us out to reach the nations with the same message that saved Zacchaeus. So as we finish our day of worship today, if specifically in this week where people tend to be more open to religious conversations, let us be encouraged that the gospel of Christ is powerful to save the nations. Start with people that are around us. Take the challenge for this week to speak to one person that you haven't recently talked to or ever about Christ. And unleash the gospel. Because it is the power of God unto salvation. We cannot be ashamed of it. It saves Zacchaeus. It will save your neighbor, save your children, save your parents, siblings, friends. Chase them up a tree if you need to. But proclaim the gospel. Same gospel that saved Zacchaeus. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you are God who saves. Thank you for testimonies like this in your word of your particular love for your people. Father, we pray that you would help us to be encouraged by it. We thank you that we are the object of your love. We pray that we have experienced that love, that we feel your love in our hearts. For us, in Jesus' name, amen.